Hi, this is Rod Faulkner, and you are listening to the 7thmatrix.com Eye on Sci-Fi podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 108 of the 7thmatrix.com Eye on Sci-Fi podcast, the podcast where we share with you terrific indie, science fiction, and fantasy, online short films and web series, as well as conversations with interesting filmmakers and other creatives. Thank you for joining me. This episode is a very special one, featuring our conversation with a very talented multi-hyphenate. Tamla Baldwin is a producer, entrepreneur, singer, musician, writer, and actor who has created and stars in a modern fantasy dramedy web series called Bubbly Brown Sugar. Bubbly Brown Sugar is the story of Jewel and Cal, two young Black New York City-based entrepreneurs who are destined to meet and become soulmates. However, before they meet, they must both overcome significant personal challenges that life places before them. Tamla joins us on the podcast to discuss the inspiration behind the creation of Bubbly Brown Sugar, why she feels nuanced and rich representations of Black people and people of color is still critical in the media landscape, and how the COVID-19 pandemic affected the distribution and marketing strategy of the web series. It was a fantastic conversation with an extremely talented creator. So, without further ado, please enjoy the Eye on Sci-Fi podcast conversation with the creator, writer, producer, and star of the modern fantasy dramedy web series, Bubbly Brown Sugar, Tamla Baldwin. Tamla Baldwin, welcome to the Eye on Sci-Fi podcast.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here, like for real. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Look, I'm excited to have you on because we're here to discuss your fantastic web series, Bubbly Brown Sugar. Ooh. I love the name. I love you in it. I love the cast. I love the messaging. And I most importantly love the representation. So for our listeners who are not familiar with what Bubbly Brown Sugar is, do you mind going ahead and giving us your elevator pitch for the series?
Sure. It's about these two soulmates that are meeting in their dreams, and it shows their parallel journey and what they each have to go through until life brings them together.
I tell you what, and they both each individually go through quite a bit.
They do. And that's kind of how life is, right? Like, you know, we may have like the vision of something great, but we have to go and up through a process to attain it, you know?
Absolutely. So. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the things I loved is you wrote and you starred in Bubbly Brown Sugar. So you wore a lot of hats, ma'am, and you wore them well.
Thank you.
I love the character of Jewel, and I'm going to tell you why. And I articulated a lot of the reasons in our written review on the 7thmatrix.com earlier this year, but I loved her positivity. I love that she embraces life. I love that she has fun, but that she's also a very astute businesswoman. And something else that I really love about her is that she is really loyal to her family and her friends. So mm-hmm. What was the inspiration for Jewel and the circumstances that she finds herself in when Bubbly Brown Sugar opens?
So Jewel especially is really loosely based on me. I'm a person that really believes in the power of our thought, that we can create heaven on earth if we just learn how to master our powers, and our power being the way we think, our perception, our energy. And that's kind of like what I've been dedicating my life to. And so Jewel is a person that has, you know, accumulated abundance, like, you know, in the world, and she's just waiting for her romantic partner to manifest. And you don't really see that represented on television. You may see either someone that's really religious or someone that's pretty much really, really into the occult. So you don't see someone that, you know, loves God, but also burns sage and uses vision boards. And so I wanted someone, I wanted to see myself on screen, you know?
And one of the things that I love about Bubbly Brown Sugar, going back to the representation, is all of that beautiful, rich melanin skin that is on screen, and that all of the characters are nuanced and multidimensional. No one is a caricature, And, you know, as the series progresses, you really delve into the inner emotional lives and personal situations that these characters are going through. And Tamala, some of it is really powerful and emotionally affecting because, and I think many viewers, when they watch the first season, the characters are going through many situations that are resonant with so many people that you can go, you know what, I've been through that, or I know someone who has gone through that. And that's quite an achievement because you are representing Black people and people of color as the full human beings that we are. But why was this so important for you to convey that in this project?
So there are many things that I wanted to accomplish. You know, I want to show that, you know, we are beautiful and well-rounded. And that's why you really see Jewel. She's kind of like our happiness, our light. And I also wanted to talk to show men that were really vulnerable because we're living in a time, especially now and throughout American history, where Black men are painted out to be these big, scary villains or monsters. And in my experience, Black men are the warmest, sensitive people. And so my point, my mission was to really show Black men just being kind and soft and vulnerable because the world tries to say something else, and that's not true. It just isn't true.
Absolutely not. And the relationship that the male characters had in the show felt so real, Tamala, seriously.
Ooh,
it's like
thanks.
It gave me flashbacks. and all the relationships, not just the men, but the men in particular, because as you pointed out, we are really stereotyped a lot in media. And so it was refreshing to see strong Black men who are in touch with their emotions and not afraid to show concern and affection towards each other.
Yes.
And that really does represent real life. And I really appreciated that. Oh. Now, speaking of the supporting characters, I have to ask you about your amazing cast. Everyone was phenomenal. So did you know each other and they helped you with the project, or did you have to do casting calls? How did that come about?
I only knew one person, and that was Zeke.
You're kidding me. It seems like you guys have known each other forever, and I know you're acting, so you've done your job, but it just really seems like you guys just, you know, grew up together.
No, we did not. I held auditions, I did self-tapes, and then I did in-person callbacks, and I'm a person that really goes off of energy, and so I brought my best energy, and I think I attracted the best in return, you know, so and on set, it was just like our ancestors, gods, everybody was with us. It was such a beautiful experience. And I think that carried over to the screen in the work.
It does. As a viewer, I can assure you that it does. And there's a dynamism that is just so exciting to watch. And I've never been to New York City, but the way that you made New York City a character in the show, it was fantastic.
Thank you.
Cinematographer who worked with you on that, because they did a fantastic job.
His name is Ty Stone. He is such a passionate director of photography. He is a hoot to work with, but he's just so dedicated to what we're creating. And I just couldn't be more grateful, you know?
That's fantastic. And let me ask you this, being a woman, Black woman, who is a creator and a filmmaker, when you were bringing Bubbly Brown Sugar to life, what would you say was the most challenging aspect of the production for you? Because again, you wore many hats. You wrote it, you created it, and you starred in it, you produced it. So what would you say was the most challenging part of the production for you?
The actual production, I mean, I would say overall, it would be, of course, getting money and funding. You know, that is always the challenge as an independent filmmaker, is getting enough funding. But the actual production, I guess it would be delegating. And not even, like, I'm a pretty good delegator. I had a really good team. I had really good production manager and producers that were on set. I guess for me, it was more like when it was time for me to be Jewel, it was hard to take off the hat of producer, you know, writer, because I would see things and be like,
excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can we cut?
And they're like, Tamala, you're supposed to be in character. What are you
exactly doing? And I'm like, but this is we gotta cut. So I think it was that, like,
well, let me ask you the question in reverse, and I like to ask this of most of my filmmakers who come on the show. When was the moment during production that you realized, you know what, I think we have got something pretty special here?
Oh my gosh. I think I realized it from the table reading that I had back in 20, I guess, like when I first wrote it, like 2018, I think, or 2017, I wrote it, and I had a reading.
Okay.
And it was just wonderful. And everybody that came was like, you have to move forward with this. And I was like, really? But I don't have any money. And they were like, don't worry, like, you'll find a way.
It will come.
Yes. And
that is easier said than done. But, you know, to go forward with your vision and still accomplish it and bring it to life, that's pretty tremendous.
Thank you. Because, like, you know, I'm a spiritual person. Some would say I'm even religious. So it's like, if I talk about, you know, having faith and all this stuff, you got to walk it. And so to me, that was a big testament to my own faith to move forward with this without having any kind of, like, resource. I didn't have a team. I never made a film before. So it was like, if you're a woman of faith, prove it. And I was like, okay.
Well, you acquitted yourself very well. It's hard for me to believe that you've never made a film before, because, listen, it just, the project looks great. It has a great message. The acting is wonderful. The chemistry is on point. So I can't gush enough about it, because when I saw it and I've caught up on the entire first season, it really brightened my heart, because I do what I can to help elevate the voices of diverse filmmakers, especially of Black people, and in particular Black women. And what you and your team have achieved is fantastic.
Thank you so much. I want to ask you,
how far in advance do you have the story planned out? Because, of course, it ends on a cliffhanger, and we're not going to spoil it here, folks. You're going to have to watch it.
Yes.
But do you have a definitive ending in mind, or what's the playbook for it?
So I don't have a definitive ending. Ideally, I would like to go at least 5 seasons, you know?
Okay.
But I don't have a clear-cut ending. And I think that kind of the actors and how they interpret the scenes, I think, plays a part in that, you know, because there are moments that you see it now that it's finished, where I'm kind of like, okay, now that I'm watching it, we're going to have to explore that some more, because of the way that people are going to view it. You know, like, for instance, you know, like, I'll give a little bit, you know, Caleb, I'm not sure he's really, really ready for anything serious after.
I would agree. After episode 6, I would definitely agree. And but you know what, too, to be fair, Jewel is also sorting through some unresolved issues in her personal life, and also dealing with some very serious family issues as well.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of room to play with. And also, I think the audience and, like, the viewers are also shaping how I may write. So I have, like, the next season pretty much almost done. But as for, like, the final, not there yet.
Well, I tell you something else that I liked about Bubbly Brown Sugar that you did, and you pulled a fast one on us, because in the first two episodes, you know, we've seen so many romantic comedies and dramas. So you realize sometimes you sit and you watch a program and you think, you know, I know how this story beat is going to go. But yeah. I love that you defied expectations.
Yes.
And it's still a beat, and it has that overarching theme of faith and positivity. But you show again that these characters really have fully realized emotional lives.
Yes.
And that they really do have issues that they need to sort out. And I love that you did not have Cal and Jewel meet until the very last scene of the first season.
Yes, yes, yes. People, I mean, and I kind of wasn't sure if they were going to meet at all, but people were like, Tamla, you have to at least allow them to meet for like a second. And I'm like, fine, right. A second.
Well, it was very well orchestrated. And listen,
you
know that I know you guys finished production and you released your first couple of episodes right before the coronavirus pandemic hit. And my God, no one could have seen this coming.
No.
How did it affect your plans for distribution, or did it affect your plans for distribution? Because entertainment, Hollywood, and filmmaking is really, like every other industry, is affected by this pandemic and trying to navigate how to continue production and how to deal with distribution. So did it affect your strategy at all?
Absolutely. We were originally going to launch it April 2nd or and I think that's like a week after the whole shutdown happened.
Right.
And so, yes. And so it's kind of like, you know, people were home, but people were kind of like distracted with other real life issues. But then I was like, no, we'll forge ahead, you know, because people are home and they want something light to watch. But then the Black Lives Matter movement happened. And then shit got real, real, really real, you know?
Like, really fast. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And so it was definitely hard. Yeah, it was really weird. So we took a break because, again, even myself, I was being impacted and traumatized by all that was happening. But then you see people like Issa Rae, who has like a big network behind her, and she kept going forward with her episodes. And I had people telling me, you don't see Issa Rae taking breaks. And it's like, well, Issa Rae has a big corporation and millions of dollars. You know, me, I'm one person, and my mental health is being a little bit impacted by all that's happening. Yeah. So ideally, I wish we would have launched a little bit earlier, like last year before Jumanji started this game.
Because God, it is crazy.
Yes.
But you know what, I think, and I'm a pretty spiritual person as well, too, Tamla, and I do believe that things do happen for a reason. And when I watched the rest of the season, I thought, you know what, this show, this web series is a ray of light, especially for the Black community. And we need that now more than ever. So I think that, yeah, it's pretty good that we have an option. And this is not just for the Black community. It is geared toward the Black community. It's centering us. But this is a human story with human characters, and anyone can relate to that. So I do commend you for releasing the episodes online and providing, you know, just again, just a ray of hope and some positive representation that we need. And
thank you.
And I know that you're going to continue to achieve much more success with Bubbly Brown Sugar. Mm-hmm. Where can our listeners go online to find out more about the web series and also more about you and what you may be up to next?
So you can check out Bubbly Brown Sugar at the moment on YouTube under Bubbly Brown Sugar. The goal is to definitely take the show, you know, to other streaming networks. So watch it for free while you can.
And everyone, not only watch it, but share it on social media.
Yes, please, please, please share it. And you can learn more about the series also on bubblybrownsugarseries.com. And you can follow me, TamalaBaldwinFilms.com, to learn about my other projects that are in development and what's in post-production and so forth.
That sounds fantastic. And I, of course, will include all the links to the web series and your social media accounts in the show notes of this episode so that our listeners can get easy access to it and keep tabs of you on you online. And I encourage everyone to do that. And Tamala, thank you so much. I really enjoyed getting the opportunity to speak with you. It has been so much fun.
Likewise, you're one of the first people to talk about Bubbly Brown Sugar, to spread the word about us, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you for the support. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's definitely my pleasure, and stay encouraged, and I cannot wait to see what subsequent seasons have in store for our group of friends, because I was rooted to the screen. I'm thinking, yay! This is fantastic. And then you had the audacity to end on a cliffhanger.
I know.
I'm thinking, no, she did not.
Everybody said that. Girl, no.
Oh, God. It was, yeah. I'm like, did she really just do that? And folks, when you watch the series, the first season, you will know what I'm talking about. So, Tamala, again, thank you so very much. Again, I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
And there you have it. The Eye on Sci-Fi podcast conversation with Tamala Baldwin, the creator, writer, producer, and star of the award-winning modern fantasy dramedy web series, Bubbly Brown Sugar. Links to the official website of the series, as well as to Tamala's professional website and her social media accounts, will be included in the show notes of this episode. Just visit theseventhmatrix.com and navigate to podcast, or use the direct link, theseventhmatrix.com/EOSF podcast. To access not only the show notes of this episode, but an archive of show notes from all of our previous episodes as well. While you're on the site, make sure to explore all of the other outstanding short films and web series that we've curated there. Sign up for our newsletter so that our latest discoveries will be sent directly into your mailbox. Also, I need to ask you to visit our support section. TheSeventhMatrix.com is and will always remain ad-free. But in order to continue our work, we need your financial support. When you visit our support section, you will find donate buttons via PayPal and Cash App. No matter the amount of your support, we deeply appreciate it. Also, please leave us a review and rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. That helps others find us, and that helps us a great deal too. So, until next week, stay safe and healthy out there, and remember, take a break, escape the mundane, and enter the fantastic. Take care.